Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by producer Joel Grove.
Hello.
All right, mate.
How are you?
I'm all right. I was just looking at you again. It's nice. Well, I don't know why we didn't do this in the first place or this
stuff.
It is
nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Nice to see you. What?
Yeah. The angle you're at makes you look really small and... Yeah, also,
you're on a box.
I know what you've done. I'm sort of on. It's your phone, but you've perched it up against the laptop screen.
Yes. See the laptop, can you?
I can see your keyboard. It is absolutely disgusting.
That's my girlfriend keeps having a go at me about that.
It is.
It's because I work so hard, mate. It's all the blood, sweat, and tears.
It's not what it looks like.
What's it look like? It's a box. You can see the box there as well. You're on the box, not just a laptop.
Yeah, I'm all worried about the film of scum on the keys on your keyboard.
How are you supposed to clean them off?
Disgusting. This is exactly what people want from this podcast. Shut your laptop down and get a baby wipe or an antibacterial wipe on it.
I've done that before.
How long ago? You can't just do it once.
4 months.
4 months
is that
of
too
constant
long?
Tapping. That's way too long.
How often do you clean yours?
A couple of times a day.
I don't like how our listeners now think I'm disgusting, Joel.
Now think?
Yeah, why would they think I was disgusting before this?
Well, you just got that vibe.
Should I do a live clean for you?
Please do. I'd love to see you clean this laptop live. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear it.
I don't think it's as bad as the lighting makes it look. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all this blue light or white light or whatever it is. What do you call it? I don't know what's the light that you find spunk with?
Black light. Is it a
black light? Oh, blue light. I think it's blue because it's like porn is blue, isn't it? Bit blue.
As a comedian, you probably stay in hotels quite a lot. Do you ever think about that?
About the sheets?
Yeah.
I have done, but it's very difficult to sleep with a hard on, so I try not to.
Lovely stuff.
good stuff. Good stuff. Good clean stuff. So, Joel, let's get cracking with this week. He's such a nice man, and he's a doctor. And a comedian, and we started his episode with that smut because of you, Joel, because you brought it to everybody's attention that it's a little bit dusty. That's all. It's dusty, Joel, because I haven't done any work.
He'll have. If a doctor had a look at that keyboard, he'd be able to test you for anything he wanted without actually having to go near your body.
Coronavirus is definitely on there, amongst others.
That virus is the least of that laptop's worries.
It's Michael Akadiri.
Hey.
Here he is. Enjoy it. And stop. Try not to think about the laptop.
Akadiri is.
Oh, that's good. I think I should do that bit.
I've done it.
Being that I'm the host.
And I just
edit it. It's Michael Akadiri is. There we go. Just put that bit in. So let's get cracking with stuff. What you got? What you got that that you've sort of worked in, but you liked but couldn't quite sort of nail?
Yeah. So I thought I'd start off with a joke, which it's about EMA, so Education Maintenance Allowance, which is about, it's getting on now. It's about 10 years ago that they cut it off. So I probably need to, like, people who are my age and
I don't even know what that is. Am I really stupid that I don't know what that is?
No, not at all. So it was a sort of government scheme that would give you like £30 a week to go to college.
Okay. Oh, and, right.
And that was about the noughties. And I wasn't eligible for it. The only way I would be is if I was a single parent child. So in my joke, I kind of say my dad had to go. so I kind of set up that. So it gives the impression that, I don't know, I just kind of set up. So that bit works. But a bit that doesn't work for me is when I try to extend it. And I'm like, okay, so that meant I had to go with my mom to all my parents' evenings, which was a nightmare because nothing was really good enough. So I remember I predicted a B in English. And she was like, why not an A star? And I said, look, considering the English you speak at home, that B's a miracle. And so usually, so the first bit, with the whole dad bit works, but the second bit with the mum bit, it sort of sometimes it works, sometimes it gets a little. I sometimes, most recently, I've not really done the latter bit. I've kind of stuck to the first bit, and I don't know why. I've been trying to rack it in my brain as to why the first bit is fine. Maybe it's the whole taking a little jab at my mum compared to my dad. I don't know.
What, as in the second bit?
Yeah, the second bit doesn't...
Because it's having a pop at your mum. Yeah.
Yeah, the second bit just doesn't get the same reaction. So I don't know if it's... Maybe it's a thing where it's, I don't know, taking a piss out of a man versus a woman or people more...
Yeah, maybe
if
there's not an example of the way she talks. I don't know. Maybe they... People... That's just interesting. How many times would you have tried that?
I've tried that probably over a good probably 20 times. A good 20 times. And it's just...
Did you change it at all in those times, like different like versions?
Yeah. So I sort of, what I've done, I kind of initially I said French, then I changed to English, and then I would put a bit of accent on when I say the A star, so like an African accent. Then sometimes I'll take that out.
Okay.
To try it, but then, so to make an emphasis that, probably English is her first, well, it's not her first language, she's got good command of English, but then maybe it was the whole,
when she said about why haven't you got to be in English, and you said, sorry, an A star, and then you say about her English, maybe her response could be some really bad English.
Yeah.
Mate, or something like that, maybe. I mean, I don't know. What would be the typical sort of thing that she says that isn't quite...
That's a good point. Put me on the spot there.
Other way you could do it, maybe, is hit the joke earlier where she goes... And when she says, why haven't you got an A star in English? The way she says that, maybe, isn't very good English. And then when you respond, the audience then know, oh, yeah, because she doesn't speak great English. That's how you could. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
That's a good point. Yeah, I just, you know, it's one of those ones where it's like, why doesn't it, what am I not doing? Like, I'm like, there's something there, but what have I not, you know, what have I not connected with? What have I not...
Maybe the audience can do the work themselves then. Like, because it makes it sort of cleverer if what way she says it. And then you just look at her, like, maybe that would be enough.
That's a very good point. After, you know, when you're like, oh, what isn't it? And sometimes, I guess, with all these...
Sometimes you just need a fresh pair of eyes.
Exactly. Someone to come at it from a different angle. Because obviously, when, I guess, everyone's joke is they're sort of baby. So you're like, no, it must work.
Mm. Yeah.
I've tried.
And also, it's annoying that the other bit works. Like, so it shows there's something there.
Yeah. So what I've been doing in like research, I just do the first bit and just kind of move on to something else because I rather keep the momentum if I'm not building momentum. Like,
yes.
Okay, that works. Sort of leave the second part because it's not working. And then I do feel it's one of those ones where it's like, I know it deep down, there's something there. There's potential in there.
That's why you tried it 20 times, mate.
Exactly.
Because you know there's something.
It's the stubbornness yeah. in me. Like, let it go. People more time will let it go. But me, I'm too stubborn.
That's cool, man. So what other stuff you got?
What else? So I've got to admit, which the audience feel sorry for me, and I don't understand why. I'll do it. So
I've had a few like that where I'm like, maybe I've been cheated on in the joke or something like that, and then they tend to feel sorry for me rather than find it funny. That can sometimes be because they like you. What's the joke?
That's true. So I've got this bit where I talk about after graduating from uni, graduating from medical school, and I said after graduating, I got a call from my dad's friend, and he asked me to be the goddaughter to his daughter, who is 29. And I was like, well, how am I meant to be a father to someone that's older than me? Like, I've, to be fair, I've dated older women who've called me daddy, but this is a little bit different. And then... So I go to him, so I said, wouldn't it make sense if we'd rather date? So then he brings out a photo album and he's flicking through the photo album. Then he shows me pictures of him, his father, his grandfather. And he asks me what the common theme here is. And I said, I can't really see it. And he said that everyone here has a hairline and we don't want you messing up our gene pool. So I think that's a bit funny. But then when I say that on stage, he gets like, aww. And then it's like, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I really don't. I wrote this for your entertainment. I don't want you to feel for me.
Yeah, maybe it's too self, like, what's the word? Yeah, maybe it's, I don't know. So what was the first bit again? So the
first bit is me basically saying that I graduated from uni and my dad's friend asked me to be the goddaughter to his daughter, who's 29.
Godfather. To his daughter.
Yeah, the godfather to his daughter.
Did that actually happen?
No, it's embellished.
Okay. Maybe that's the thing. That sounds too mad to me. Is that something that does happen?
Yeah, no, I think more the most obvious thing would be a more common thing would be obviously you graduate and get a good job that if I'm not single, but if I was single then people be like, hey, have you seen my daughter? Da, 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 da. They may sort of lean me that way. So I thought a funny flip on that would be, instead of me asking you to be partners with your daughter, if someone asked you to be the godfather, which is odd because it's not really a request you sort of get. So then, and then I would flip it and say, but wouldn't the most obvious thing be if you dated? And then he's like, no, I don't want you to date because you'd mess up my gene pool. So I thought that would be a bit funnier. But then... I always get really? That's harsh.
And up to that bit, what happens to the audience reaction wise?
So they're with me. They find it the request odd. So I think because the initial bit it's a bit faster paced. So they're like, yes. Oh, right. Like,
and the daddy line, does the
daddy line gets good laugh. That gets good
laugh.
Yeah. So because it catches you off guard. So they're with me. And then I go into this. Maybe the photo book's a bit too long winded, but I go into that bit and then it goes from, oh, that's this is quite funny to, oh, that's really harsh, Michael. You sure you're right? And I'm like, no, that's, I find that hilarious, you know?
Yeah, maybe. It's an issue, isn't it? Maybe it's an issue people just, you know, they don't feel like they can laugh at. I don't know, it's weird. Maybe that section, that whole bit's a bit long for the payoff. Maybe if the setup was a bit shorter, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that probably is it because the setup's quite fast, and then the payoff is a bit, oh, why is it so long-winded? So maybe I have to just look at the payoff and see if I can make that whole bit I spilled to you, if I can make it maybe two sentences, then maybe that will be where it starts sort of working out and stuff, because as it is in this current format, it's a bit, it's just,
do you go from him talking about him saying all of these people have got good hairlines, and then do you leave a pause while the audience will then sort of trigger, oh, because you haven't, or do you go straight into,
I say it and then, I'll probably give like a mini second or a second pause and then they go, oh. And then I just thought, then from there, I move on to something. Then I tell them that they shouldn't be upset for me. And then I move on to just a bit more stuff about hair. I keep on the same theme but I just move on from the joke. I accept that, you know.
So do you keep that bit in? Because, I mean, a reaction's a reaction and you can work off. It's better than no reaction, isn't it?
Exactly. So they're invested in the story. They're definitely invested in the story and they sort of, I guess they react to it. But it's not, I guess, as a comic or my comic mind, it's always, I'd rather have big laughter.
Of course,
something. But then again, I guess if I'm looking ahead to doing 1 hour show,
it's a shame you can't, if there's like a line that comes straight off of it that sort of goes straight back at the guy, because if the audience feels sorry for you that he's been mean, it'd be nice if there was something you could flip it and have a pop back. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but like,
yeah, no, of course, if I say something quite witty
literally off the top of your head
yeah
just made
exactly.
a joke I just
that
made a joke.
Witty or something like that, or you know,
or so, maybe the hair somewhere else on your body or something. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Because
that's the thing. Because if you've got that emotion in the audience where they feel bad for you, then if you then get the upper hand, that feels like that would release that tension.
Of course, that's a very good point. I've not thought of it like that. Because I normally just abandon the whole routine. Cause like, oh, it doesn't work.
It might be nonsense what I'm saying.
It makes me think, because like you say, if they're with me enough to sort of be like, oh, that's real bad, that's real sad, then it makes me feel that there's definitely something I could just sort of, if I come with something quite left field that they don't expect and it's quite witty and funny, they may sort of be with me on it. So it's something to try. It's just, obviously, with all this shutdown, it's like, yeah, I'll try it, but I'll probably be 3 months.
I've been saying that on this podcast quite a lot lately. It's like, oh, I've got these great ideas now, and I'm just going to have too many to try when we eventually get around to it.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's not a bad issue. At least you've got loads of new material to sort of run out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it, mate. Have you done any of those online gigs yet?
I've not done any. I've considered a couple. I guess this is where I'm too much of a used to the live stand-up. Like, I live for the audience reactions.
Even
if it's a laughter, even if it's a groan, even if it's a heckler telling me that I'm trash, I need something. I need to feel like me and the audience are in the room together. And I struggle with the whole concept of just looking into a camera.
It's weird.
What about you? Have you done any?
Not yet. I've been asked a few, but I don't know, with one-liners it's just really weird with the timing.
And
one-liners without reaction can look really rubbish. So I don't know. I'll to be honest, I'm enjoying doing this sort of thing more with my time.
Yeah, of course. You'll keep yourself busy. I think the main thing is to at least keep yourself busy and find the format which most suits you. Because it's so easy. Because obviously there's other things popping up, i.e. like little skits or little videos or
I'm slowly sort of implementing different things. So like, I've got the podcast established now and I've recorded a lot and I'm in the rhythm of that now.
Good.
Then I'm doing a little blog where I review movies. But basically it's all jokes, but in like a review format.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. So I've just started doing those. So I'm kind of getting all those little things established and then, you know, and then finding another project. I want to do some sort of video thing, but you need to find something that's different because everyone's doing it. And it's just, what's the point if you're not going to stand out with it? Because otherwise there's just no point. No one's going to watch it, are they? Because they've got too many other people they can watch.
Oh yeah, the fight for content is like crazy. There's so much, not just like, you got little TikTok videos, you've got little stuff people doing Facebook and Instagram or Twitter, then you've got YouTube, you're still battling with it. You've got longer form content on like Netflix and stuff like that. So literally it's a battle for people's eyes and it's so difficult, as you say, to really, really, really differentiate yourself. In this game. So, but the main thing, it sounds like you're keeping yourself busy, which I guess is the main thing. You're not dormant or anything.
Yeah, and everything I'm doing is joke related, so that's sort of you know, I'm still working that muscle, which is, you know.
That's the muscle. You got to keep working. That's it.
Yeah, man.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What other bits have you got? What other bits?
So I got this bit which, again, I think the concept is good, but it's not really landed all the time. So I start off by talking about sort of confidentiality and about, I ask people, do you know what the concept is? They're like, yeah. And I say, look, I'm duty bound by it. So anything the patient tells me should remain a secret. Well, unless it's real funny, then it goes in my set. Yeah, and then from there, then I start asking them, basically I explain to them that I should really keep stuff a secret, but patients are free to tell whoever, whatever. And I say that I used to run this anal clinic, and I saw a guy in and out, and he went to his friend, oh, that's the guy that gave me a sore ass. And I had to try to explain to my date that it's not like that, but that I had a difficulty of trying to explain to her that I gave this guy a sore ass, but I couldn't explain how. And to her, she thinks I probably banged him. And it doesn't... It sounds a bit crazy, but I've just not... I don't think I've made the problem big enough for the audience for them to really get the payoff. And I've not really gotten a strong punchline yet there. But that's the concept of the joke. The concept of the joke is basically being in a situation where someone said something and I feel... for whatever reason, I can't defend myself.
But I guess it might be, I don't know, yeah. Because, that is interesting. So you can't actually say what, is actually a thing, or is this embellished?
Yeah, no. So the confidentiality is real. So in real life,
if the other guy had, if that guy said that in front of her, surely then does that not look, release the tension, the confidentiality, or is it still you can't talk about it?
So in theory, in truth, if he can say what he wants and I can then be like, okay, yeah, that did happen, but
yeah,
I'm playing on the fact that I'm basically upset I can't say anything. So in real life you could probably be like, okay, it didn't happen like that, but in truth you're meant to keep stuff a sort of secret. So like, let's say you see your GP in a supermarket. You may be like, obviously, unless you say hello, dog, he or she shouldn't really be like, hey, Mark, I saw you last week. What's going on?
Yeah.
So I was playing on that.
Oh, man. I had to go to the doctor once, and the person, the doctor, was someone I used to play tennis with when I was like 13. And I picked up on it from the name on the thing, but she didn't act at all. I've changed a lot since that age, but she would have known my name back then, but she didn't react in the slightest that, you know, but because I was getting diagnosed with Crohn's. So she had to, no. she had to, you know.
Yeah. I know what she had to do.
So that was for me, it was weird because it was almost worse that she didn't mention it. I was like, does she know and keep it and just not saying anything?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Like, but obviously, it's a, like, I know loads of people do sort of PR jokes and stuff. So I wanted to try, if I'm going to do one, my thought process, let me come from it from a different angle, not just, oh my God, I was there in the office and da-da-da-da, because I think it's load of people come done quite a few of them. So I thought if I come from a different angle, it makes it a bit more unique. But this one's more the whole embarrassment of being called out and feeling trapped that I can't adequately defend myself. And she's probably going to think, oh, is he not interested in me? Is he gay or da-da-da-da-da? I don't, so...
Did you say it was a first date?
Yeah. So I tried to amp it up by saying it's the first date. It's my first date. So what are you doing?
Does she know? Yeah. Did you say whether she knows what career you've got?
No, I don't. I don't point that out.
Maybe if you said that she doesn't know, because you kind of assume that she would know, and then she'd put two and two together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a fair point.
Maybe you hadn't, because you do anal. What was it? Anal clinic?
Yeah, anal clinic.
You didn't want to tell her, maybe, on the first date, because she might find that weird. That might be the reason why you wouldn't have told her yet. I don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe him saying about made my arse sore might be too on the nose. Maybe if he made a little comment like, don't bend over in front of that guy or something.
Oh, yeah, like a little cheeky one or something like that.
I don't know. There's lots of different ways maybe you could try it. But there's also, you could probably go way more into that whole topic, right? Have you got, because like the whole, you know, confidentiality stuff, you must have loads of...
I've not gone into it, no. So this is the first joke that sort of explores that. Like, I've not really, it's such a big angle that I could really, really explore. But it's not...
Yeah, like, is that something you want to be able to talk about in your stand-up, that side of your life? Or is it something
that I find I'm doing it a bit more, but most of the stuff I do say is mainly embellished stuff. So I don't... I'm not... Obviously, you can't go on stage and start talking about personal business, of course. But most of the stuff I do is embellished. So I do... I feel confident in saying stuff which isn't really true. It could be true, but it's just not, if you know what I mean.
I was gonna say, like, with the, like, maybe the dynamic is would be weird with you being a stand-up, but then you've got this job that's quite high status and you're very intelligent, to, do you know what I mean, and all that. So then you kind of, your status is sort of different to the normally when you're a comic.
Maybe it
depends what the other stuff you talk about, whether it matches what you do for a living.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because I know everyone reviews on everything, but when I did this competition, Steve Bennett was like, oh, how he's an everyman, but it contrasts well with his job where he's expected to be on a higher level than all of us, but he's still the same person. And I guess that's my stick, really. I've not really, because I'm still quite new, I'm still trying to figure out, what is my thing? What's my stick? I think that's probably
really
it. Like,
go into
I'm probably just an every person, but I have this job, which...
Because that's quite funny, yeah. If you're like an every person where shit goes wrong, and then you've got to put on your serious face your job.
When I'm meant to be serious, I'm expected to be serious, but I'm just an every person trying to get through life like everyone else.
And then when things go wrong at work, then you can sort of go into things like that.
Exactly. So it's funny because that's kind of the angle that I'm trying to do, that I'm thinking about a first show and stuff. And that's the sort of stick that I'm thinking that I may sort of go on, like the sort of every guy who's in this big job where he's meant to be professional, but he's not really. And he gets into situations that he can't really deal with and da-da-da-da-da.
It's interesting because there's a lot of comics... You know, like well-known comics, you know of that were doctors.
But
they don't really talk about it on stage, do they? Like, is there one that does talk about it?
I don't know if Paul Sinner talks about it on stage. Like, I've seen some of his stuff. I don't know if he talks about it. He references some stuff. Then there's
Harry Hill definitely doesn't.
Yeah, Harry Hill's left that long time ago. Simon Brodkin probably used to, but I don't, not in his recent stuff.
Yeah, because not wouldn't have with Lee Nelson or anything, but maybe because I haven't seen his new stuff actually. But he does stand up as himself now, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, when he did a warm up tour, when he was doing his warm up for the show to Edinburgh, I saw it about this time last year, and yeah, he doesn't really mention it. Obviously, it was more about some of his pranks and day-to-day life stuff.
So there's two ways to look at this. It could either be they don't mention it for a reason because maybe it's quite hard to get that angle across, or maybe it's no one's done it. You could be the one.
Yeah.
That could be your thing. You're the Doctor Comic. Doctor Comic. Doctor Comics.
Doctor Comics. Yeah. No doubt. There's a big one. I don't know. Dr. Ken John. He's an American comic. He was in the Hangover movies.
I didn't know he was a doctor.
He's a big one in the States. So yeah, no, it's just an angle that I'm seeing if I could explore. Obviously, because I guess everyone in this game wants to have a little niche or a little thing, their thing and stuff. So that's definitely like this confidentiality joke. If I can make it work, my thinking is that's definitely another angle to sort of explore and run with, so to speak. So,
because I'm sure there must be sort of dating related things you can link to, like the whole anal thing being like when you get back to her, it's like, ah, it's just more work. It might be a bit blue for you, I don't know.
It's definitely like. Finally, though, obviously, it's the blend between sort of your work life and your personal life, isn't it? Which I guess most people can sort of easily separate the two. But obviously, day to day, if I work with humans, isn't it? I guess most people do, but I work with humans and human problems. So the fact is that I try to keep stuff separately, but it could be a stick where I just find myself in situations where work problems still find me outside. Sort of makes sense and stuff like that.
And maybe like in a gig, if anyone's you needed a doctor at a gig or anything,
there's
it could happen. If you ever do cruises, you probably will. Actually, they probably pay you double to do a cruise gig because you could sort of double up as if anyone, but you know,
of course,
as problems or the old people on there.
Yeah, run a little clinic. Why not?
Yeah, double your money, mate.
Why not?
Michael Akadiri!
There he was.
Akadiri was. God, he's going to bloody love all this riffing on his name, isn't he?
I hope so. I bet he's never heard any of them before.
No. Oh, good stuff. Hashtag Awooga, Michael. Hashtag Awooga, everybody listening. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any feedback at Jokes from Mark across all social media, as always, we appreciate that. Lovely. What else, Joel? What else have we got to talk about?
Patreon.com/Jokes with Mark for exclusive content. Thank you, everyone that keeps subscribing, in probably a day, there's going to be Mark
and Joel on demand exclusive Patreon podcast about what you should be watching during lockdown.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you sound it. You said you're a bit sleepy earlier, but I think you're
raring to go now.
You seem to have perked up with all the spunky keyboard chat.
Where do we go? Anything more from you, Mark?
You got nothing to say to that?
No.
I just like to.
Uncomfortable.
God. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.